I found a site called InspiroBot that makes inspirational quotes that are sometimes bad, such as this one that says, if one wants to achieve mainstream recognition, often one has to get chlamydia and regret being born.
Oh God, Jeff, send me the link to that site, please. I'm There's so another serious. One that says, I need
eat
that
mice,
site.
You lard ass.
No, I'm serious. Please inbox me that mess. I need that site a part of my life.
All right, I'll send it to you.
Oh my God.
What is going on, people? This is Elder Tippy. Welcome to a brand new episode. And we are back with a brand new episode of On the Brain. Now, tonight on the panel, I got one of the hosts who rant, my cousin, my buddy, my best friend. We got Rick. Going on, dude.
How to do?
And another buddy of mine straight from the internet, the Crypto Nightmare YouTube channel, and a plethora of things. We've done a bunch of projects and we've done a bunch of projects in the past, and we will be doing more in the future. He goes by the name of Jeff of Crypto Nightmare.
Hello, everybody. What's up?
What's going on, y'all? So, all right. So we know why we're here. There was some news that came out earlier today, and we ain't talking about the fact that Futurama finally got a release, not a date, but a window.
The King of the Hill.
The Futurama revival got a King of the Hill. The revival got a release window sometime in the summer. Hopefully, we're right. You know. And also, yes, Hulu is picking up the new King of the Hill revival. All right.
But the question, okay, real quick, off topic. How are they going to do it? Because Brittany Murphy's been dead like a decade now. And she was the
voice.
They'll
probably either recast her right
now. They'll probably recast her or do like.
Yeah, I was thinking they might write her off, you know, just to show respect to the what's called.
They might even just take the Apu method where they just have her as a background character that doesn't talk. But I don't know how that would really even work.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have like voice clips of old Brittany Murphy recordings and they'll just copy
them. I don't think they're going to go.
I wouldn't do that. You know,
they might just retire the character. I think that's what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I think they'll probably just write her off as having moved to another state or something.
Yeah.
Hey, look, at this point,
because the character is so beloved that they're not going to. They don't want to do the show without her like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they'll probably just recast. I mean, just retire the character.
To be 100% honest, they've been trying to get this show back on the air for a minute now. Like, there's been rumors, there's been speculation, and now it's actually happening. And
they've been trying since a couple of years after it ended,
right?
Yeah, I remember at one point people were trying to do the Family Guy
prematurely.
Yeah, they were trying to go the Family Guy route with it, where like they wanted reruns on Adult Swim to do so well that like Adult Swim, you know, was the reason that the show ended up coming back. And like, yeah, it didn't happen. Lightning don't strike twice.
Well, it was the only reason King of the Hill got to even finish its final season.
But, yeah. You know, it worked for Family Guy and it worked for Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did it though?
It did, because Futurama kept coming back.
But no, this is the thing. Futurama was coming back regardless. The first time.
The first time?
It came back more than once.
It did. Yeah.
It came back again.
The last time it came back, it was on Comedy Central, and they even made a joke about the fact that they were on different channels, and they're like so.
In the first episode, they're like, yeah, and, it's like we're pretty, like it's a funny,
funny channel
now, like
a Comedy Central channel. We're on it now.
Yeah.
Like they were always good for a little bit of, you know, they knew where they were, but they, you know, they were smart about it. I got to agree with our homeboy. Shouts out to Nebjita. I got to agree with him. We've been talking about it for a while now. Futurama had a perfect ending.
It really did. That's why, like, I'm don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. Like, I'll watch the new episodes. But there's no need for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That ending was like, fucking perfect.
And there was a podcast episode
that I remember came that. Out. Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah, like that came out a while ago on the Nerdist Network, and that was it was different because there's a lot of things you can't do on a podcast that you can't, you know, that audio podcast that you can do on animation. So it's just, you know, that element was missing, but they had they got everybody back for it. So
I'm thinking, this is my thinking though, is like it's not going to take place. It's going to take place before that finale, that picture perfect finale. Like whatever we see in this reboot is going to be in the intervening years before the series finale, the original series finale anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Kind of like how Dragon Ball Super takes place before the end of Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, and that's the...
It also kind of rewrites the end of Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah. You know, it definitely does. It definitely does.
And also, you know, the thing about it, too, given the fact that Futurama is set in the future, they can make jokes about modern-day shit. And it's not going to be like, oh, but that's da-da-da-da-da, you know? Like, no. You can get away with doing that still without ruining the integrity of that series finale. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or you could be in an interesting spot like with Clone High and
I'm still so glad that's coming back.
Like whoever, okay, right before we get to the meat and potatoes of this episode, which is the DC announcements, the DCU announcements by James Gunn, we got to talk about one other thing, and we will be talking about it officially as a reviewed show on this platform. So
this summer, right?
So anybody who is a fan or knows about the cult classic, which is MTV, which was originally on MTV back in the day, Clone High, somebody leaked the first episode of the new of the revival, and I like shouts out to our homeboy Retro Rick for providing it, you know, for giving us the link. Big ups to, you know, big ups to him. I don't know.
And the crazy thing about it, like, this thing is still so fresh that, like, there's parts where the stand-in voice actor is doing lines for Will Forte's Abe Lincoln because I guess he couldn't re-record him or whatever, but, like, his voice is changing ever so much.
Every so often. And that is probably out of the three shows that we have talked about so far, that this one is still the most, it's compared to the other two, this one's a bit, you know, more new.
This is the most anticipated because we haven't seen anything besides that one season 20 years ago, 22 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And
not even like a comic book or anything. We haven't seen anything Clone High since 2000.
Right. And really, we're not going to give you any plot spoilers, but it's a trip. They seriously at first kind of did the Captain America Outside of Time thing, you know? And it's a trip watching this 20 plus years later. And we're going to talk more about it when it officially comes out on HBO Max. Now, I have a sore spot, me and HBO Max right now, but I ain't gonna get into it because
we'll get into it at the end of the episode.
I'm in awe right now of the DCEU announcements. So, at this point in time, this is why I wanted to record it as quick as I wanted to because I wanted it to be fresh in our heads after we had seen that announcement video.
This morning's announcements.
And the next thing you know, it's on every freaking source that I go to. Like, James Gunn has just announced this. James Gunn has just announced that. James Gunn has just...
While the iron is hot.
Exactly.
And you know what's funny? You said James Gunn like three times, and I heard it as James Bond every time you said it. I don't know why. For a split second,
well, he's a good movie director, too.
Yeah.
Ah,
That's a good one.
It's oh man, but yo, listen, guys. I know that the DCEU has had its fair share of ups and downs, and it, like everywhere, like, and us being fans of, I can honestly say I'm both a Marvel fan and a DC fan.
Like it's okay to be a fan of both. Like the rivalry is just friendly, you know, back and forth. But it's all right to be a fan of both of them.
Yeah. I lean more towards Marvel, not going to lie. But in certain aspects, DC's got them beat. Like,
yeah, like, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like, okay. And we've been talking about this for years now. Yeah. Marvel's got the movies. DC's got the animated.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
As far as volumes of comics, you know,
they're pretty neck and neck.
I think DC's probably got them beat there too, because DC was around even before All-Star Comics, which was the precursor to Marvel Comics.
True.
But Timely was Marvel originally.
I thought it was All-Star Comics.
But I'm talking about
Timely was DC. I'm sorry. Right? Timely was DC.
I'm talking more. More like modern day. If we talk about like what they're putting out right now, most of what I hear is, you know, like mostly like right now, Batman's got like four series going on at the same time.
That's always Batman. Pretty much. Yeah, Timely was Marvel. Was Timely rather.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the. Like the modern day runs, like I haven't picked up a comic from either one in a while. I read, you know, little bits here and there thanks to digital media, you know, but I haven't actually sat down and read a modern Marvel comic in a while. My brother hooked me up with some classic ones.
Haven't actually even read any comics in a long while.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you, and I've been looking at like stuff online. I'm like, I need to read these things just because, not even just to catch up, it's just like, it's been so, I miss the whole, you know, experience of reading comics.
I haven't even bought a comic in a while, but there's still some on my list that I want to find. Like, there's four issues that lead up to the Death of Superman series that each end with Doomsday's fist punching a wall or something.
Mm-hmm.
I need those four precursor issues to complete my collection.
And Jeff, like, you're out of the three of us, I'd say you're the most versed in the Big Blue Boy Scout Superman, right?
I would say so. I'm probably not as versed as other people in the world, but I know a fair
amount. No, but that's why you said out of the three of us.
Out of the three of us, you really know your stuff, though. Like, right before we.
Yeah.
Right before we got on this recording, you were telling us about the fact that you've had you told me about this years ago, that you had you had downloaded the original serials.
The old radio series.
And, you know, we were going through some of his history, and we talked about the struggles that the DCEU has had since they started, really. Mm-hmm. And that's
we talk about this.
And we talk about this all the time. Like, we crack on them, but really, it's like, you know, a lot of other stuff. They're batting 1,000 as far as their output when it comes to their animated stuff, especially if you mean like
that 15 movie set that they did that started off with Flashpoint was unmatched in comic book animation movies.
Say again, Jeff.
The 15 movie series that they did that started off with Flashpoint Paradox is unmatched in comic book superhero movies for animations in terms of the animated ones.
Are you talking about like the new 52 stuff?
Yeah, the stuff they did from Flashpoint, and then afterwards they did I don't remember what the Justice League War, and then they did the
Justice League War.
There was a couple of them that weren't that good, like Wonder Woman, Bad Blood, I think it was the name of that one.
They can't all be gems, because you're right.
But most of them were actually really good. Especially Apocalypse War. That was That was phenomenal.
That ended on a very, very sad note. But
oh yeah, I had to think. I didn't remember if I saw that or not. Yeah, that was really.
It had a dark ending in some ways, but at the same time, the fact that he went back and made another flashpoint to fix everything, it kind of makes up for it in a way.
Now, speaking of the Flash, is a nice way to segue.
Nice little segue.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of the Flash, we know the movie is coming. We've been chopping at the bit for this movie for a while.
Well, they've been talking about it for like 3 years.
And then Ezra Miller had to.
Yeah, that's why they've been talking about it for 3 years.
They had to do what they did, and now, for the past year plus, I've been on the fence because they should have done something after what happened. Okay. They really should have done something after what had happened. I know that
I'm just mad that it got pushed back because it was supposed to come out last year. Yeah. And it would have been great for like the 30th anniversary of Returns to see Michael Keaton come back as Batman for the first time in 30 years.
That's the only
thing. The anniversary of Returns would have been his.
Me and your boy Keaton again.
No, but that's the thing I'm saying. Like, it would have been a nice return. Of being the 30th anniversary of Returns, it's like, oh, he's back. You know what I'm saying? Like, because honestly, you know, let's just say it like it is. That's what most people are coming to see that movie for. Is Michael Keaton as Batman. Well, you know, the real diehard fans, we're all amped to see Michael Keaton as Batman again.
Word up.
Especially more so now that Batgirl got canceled.
He was supposed to be in that one too.
Yeah. In
Flash?
No, Michael Keaton. He was supposed to reply.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I was saying. Yeah, people are mad because that's another reason people are upset because that got canceled because he was supposed to be in that. That was the point I was making too about that.
Yeah, sorry for cutting you off though, cuz. It's just really sad because I had seen the last DCU movie I had seen most recently was Black Adam, and I thought that was decent for what it was. But then
I heard it was good, not great.
I give it a C plus.
You know what? For all the hype that they did leading up to that movie, it could have been a lot better.
Yeah, I gave it a C plus, but
and this is the thing because The Rock had been teasing that movie for like years and years, even before I want to say it was even like oh no, I can't want to say by when he started teasing it might have been in like pre production. You know what I'm saying?
Because he said he's been working on it since 2008,
something like that. Yeah, that's right. Son of a
man, you hit the nail on the head.
Bitch, it has been that long. Because, yeah, I want to say I remember hearing about it not too long after the first Iron Man movie came out.
Yeah, he said something about since, like, 2008 or somewhere around there, he had been working on it. But I don't know, like, to what capacity. Was he pitching it or already scripting it or what? I don't know.
I feel like they were just talking about it because, you know, something that he wanted to do, but just, like, nothing really picked up until the last 4 or 5 years, maybe? Given the quote-unquote success of those DC movies at the time?
Varying degrees of success.
Defined success.
Yeah.
Like, if...
That's why I said, I did a finger quote. You can see my hand.
If we're gonna go by successes, this is just our opinions, but I'd have to say, if we were gonna go by, like, overall success, I think Wonder Woman's got it.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was probably one of the better DC movies.
The first one, anyway.
Yeah, like
the first Wonder Woman movie. If we're talking about the live action ones,
yeah, the first Wonder Woman movie was great. You know what I'm saying? The second one, I don't know what they were trying to do. And
that was a mishmash of I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
Because the beginning does not really set itself up for the rest of the movie.
It really doesn't.
the beginning is almost chef's kiss. You know what I'm saying? That's beautiful. It's got a good message to it. But then the rest kind of contradicts what she was trying to do, just to push in this, like, these other plots. And you know, I think I've talked that movie to, you know, that movie to death. I mean, but honestly, if you're gonna do a movie about Cheetah, have her in earlier. Don't have her, you know, in that whole thing. But that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion.
No, like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it felt, you know what, too, and also it was that very overdone super villain trope. Like, oh, she's a nerd now. Then the thing happens, and now she's not a nerd anymore, or something like that. Yeah. That trope needs to go away.
Yeah, that's been a thing since Batman Returns. That was Catwoman's story in Batman Returns.
To a degree. No, I don't think, no, she wasn't so much a nerd. She was, it's more, it's she more was the Poison meat Ivy nerd than it is Catwoman.
They did that same thing for Poison, about to say, they did the same thing for Poison Ivy. But
Catwoman wasn't so much a nerd as she was just like a...
She was meek.
Oh, she was meek.
Thank you, that's the word, thank you. That's perfect.
Yeah, she was meek, whereas Cheetah...
Fuck, that is perfect, that is perfect.
Dude,
thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, you hit it.
On that.
What? You hit it, man.
Oh yeah, because she was just like such a timid, meek person. She wasn't like really pushing boundaries or anything.
Until she got pushed in out of boundaries.
Staying out of the spotlight and just doing her thing, living a normal life. And then once she gets her Catwoman powers, which wasn't even a thing in the comics as far as I know. She
well,
suddenly,
you know, I don't think like, she Max. Got powers. I don't think she got powers. It was just the cats helped revive her, like, you know, wake, like, the because the fall,
maybe many the fall awnings that she fell.
You know what? As many awnings as she fucking fell through, and then it's not
she's
like
she's got brain damage now.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's not, she didn't get power, she just got something, a switch went in her head from hitting all those damn awnings she fell through 100 floors up or however long it was.
The first one turned it on, the second one turned it off, the third one turned it back on again. You just hit the right amount.
Exactly. And then the cats somehow, wait, that's right, the cats kind of did give her powers because she took 6 shots in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cats gave her 9 lives and cat-like reflexes.
Now, she had those reflexes before. She was just that quiet freak. And then that thing happened to her. Then that thing happened to her.
It made more sense than what they did for Halle Berry's Catwoman. So,
the less said about that, the better.
Exactly my point. So... Even though for a while that was my favorite version of Catwoman,
Halle Berry version, right?
It was the suit, man. Okay, all like.
Okay, it, so it wasn't your favorite; it was your partner's favorite.
It was the suit. It was just the suit, you know.
Let's be like, real. Okay, it wasn't your favorite. It was the captain's favorite.
They have a. They
the
have
guy
a
behind
habit
the
of,
wheel.
Like they have a they it has a certain had a certain I had a certain attraction to it and yeah.
Well yeah, understandably so, because that costume was
it wasn't really much of anything. Like
no, the thing is I felt like that costume
wasn't
was
it basically just some leather straps?
Yes. It was leather straps and some tight pants. Pants.
No, you know what? They were trying to one up Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, but they were like, "What can we do without having her completely naked?" And it's like, "We'll make her as naked as possible." Well, okay,
and,
I guess.
And she got a Razzie for that.
And you know the funny shit about that is she came to the award ceremony with her Oscar and accepted the Razzie with her Oscar in the other hand.
There you go. But
that's why I have respect for Halle Berry like that, because she was like, she knew
respect.
That movie was shit.
Much respect.
She
it,
knew
it
that
is.
Movie was shit.
It is. It's crappy. It's sexist. It's everything you think it is.
She was a good Storm, though.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, that's a given. That's a different animal altogether.
Yeah. totally different characters played in totally different ways. One was just overly sexualized, and the other one was there for exposition and guidance. That was.
She wasn't as powerful as she should have been, though. I'll give you that. Word up.
No, that's for real. That's for real. But as far as this new slate of films, I am rubbing my hands right now because we are getting ready for 10 upcoming projects, not just films, but also TV shows that will be connected. And not
only their phase one is called what? Gods and something.
Gods and monsters. Yeah.
Gods and monsters. They came out the gate with a name for their first phase of media. Of
see, I thought it was going to be the Gods and Monsters thing they did animated a while ago.
Say that again.
I thought it was going to be the Gods and Monsters things that they did animated a while ago.
That's what Zod that reminded was Superman. Me. Yeah, that's remind. That's what that reminded me of, and that was, and I believe that was originally animated first by Bruce Timm and team before it got a comic.
Yeah, right? That was a Bruce Timm original.
Yeah, and honestly, okay. I liked it. You know, like there was a lot of like, you know, like it was a nice little what if story, and I wanted them to expand on that more. Like there was a series of shorts before they got to that, and now you can't find them anymore because it used to be. It's now on a defunct.
I think the movie was the shorts all put together.
Oh no! The shorts, the shorts were separate stories that led up to the events of the film, but you don't see any of the stuff that happened in those shorts in the film. The shorts were only on the Machinima YouTube channel. Dang.
The Machinima YouTube channel is gone?
Has the Machinima been gone for a while?
It's been gone for a minute, yeah.
I thought they were still around. My favorite YouTuber actually got his start on Machinima.
Yeah, Machinima got trolling shut people down.
Nonetheless. Yeah, they've been gone for a minute.
They got.
I thought they were still around, and they just weren't that popular anymore.
No, it's done. It's done. Like if the only thing you'll see on the only thing you'll see when you type in the Machinima name is people that were partnered with them in their old videos, but not the channel itself. It shut down years ago at this point.
That's a shame. They had some good stuff.
I know.
Mm-hmm. They really did.
Yep, but Gods and Monsters, the shorts were were originally airing on the channel. And
there's somewhere to get those, just not legitimately.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But it's very like I think that movie should have got another shot. It should have at least got one, you know, like one more to it. But I was glad that it was original. But as far as the Gods and Monsters live action phase of I can't even say films because it's also TV. This new slate of upcoming media.
It's basically they're referring to it as chapters.
Right, exactly. So chapter one, Gods and Monsters. And we're starting with we got a list.
Real quick, you know what? Before you get into that, I'm glad that they're giving their phases titles instead of just being like this is phase one, phase two, phase three. Like I like that they're giving it a title.
It gives it a more connected feel.
Yeah, they gave it the title right out the gate. Marvel eventually gave us a title for the first, you know.
Yeah, but that wasn't until after a
everything
while.
Had already been done.
Until like phase six.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So let's see what they name the next few phases. But yeah, for chapter one,
like naming it is cool and all, but it's the execution that's going to matter the most.
Exactly.
So the first on the list is a TV show by the name of Waller, or Amanda Waller.
I'm looking forward to this one. I'm so looking forward to this one.
I know something else that's on the list that I could have sworn was going to be the first thing.
What's up?
Superman Legacy.
Superman
you
Legacy.
Just wanted it to be the first thing.
It's up there, but it's not the first thing. It's like the fourth.
Because I remember James Gunn being interviewed about what his opinions are on how the DC universe was, and he said that the Superman absolutely has to be the cornerstone of it. He's like the core of DC. So he said that was high importance. So I figured that Superman was going to be the first thing.
Well, I understand that, but it looks like based on this list. Okay, so I was wrong first few minutes. So Waller, story for Amanda Waller, played by Viola
the
Davis.
The incomparable Viola Davis.
They're getting her back for it. That's weird for them rebranding the whole universe then.
Well, not really. You can have
again though. She was in. I haven't seen the second Suicide Squad, the one that was done by James Gunn. Wasn't she in that though?
She was in.
She was also in Black Adam.
She was in Black Adam.
Yep, she was.
Suicide Squad and the Suicide Squad.
And, so she was in both Suicide Squads.
Right. Exactly.
And wasn't she in Peacemaker?
That kind of makes sense that he would keep her around because she was already.
She was in Peacemaker too, right? Movies.
You would know better than me because you watched Peacemaker. I didn't. I
want to see it. That show looks hilarious.
Oh, I heard. No, I heard it was dope. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
I watched the first two episodes. I haven't even finished it yet.
Like they canceled the show I was watching. They just canceled Doom Patrol.
They kind of canceled Titans.
I know.
They canceled Titans and Doom Patrol. And I was a bigger fan of Doom Patrol, and they just canceled that. They
Doom Patrol was incredible.
James Gunn says that wasn't his idea. Oh, he said he had no idea
with that. No, but they promised that.
Right now.
They promised that this last season, because it's in the middle of the fourth season. They promised a good finale for it. So,
we're getting that. At least, because a lot of the shows that we like, we don't even get that.
Word, exactly. So
I'm just wondering. My thing is like, I'm wondering if they're going to have to rework like the scripts or whatnot. Because I mean, if they're already halfway through production for the season, and all of a sudden they get to cancel, they're going to have to redo some stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the season's out right now. So
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's out right now. It's in the middle of its arc. So. That's it. After that,
okay. That's how behind I am because I didn't even know Doom Patrol was back yet.
Dude, I would definitely suggest sitting back and watching it. You know,
cousin. Now that I know that it's there, I've got nothing but I've got nothing but time on my hands. That will be my weekend.
Right. Cool. So, Superman Legacy is the second on the list. Right now, I'm on Forbes right now. Forbes.com. They got the list. And Superman Legacy, promised Superman reboot project for Gunn that Gunn is writing, though it is not clear.
I bet he directs it too. I bet he's going to direct it.
Right now, it says it's not clear if he's directing it yet. I mean,
no, I know that. No, I know that. But I'm saying if he's writing it, he's going to put all of him, all of him into the script, and I bet he's going to end up directing it. Is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I mean it's pretty likely. I mean we got 2 more years before this comes out. This is not scheduled to come out until July 11th of 2025.
Oof.
So we got a while before this comes out. But what do you but Jeff, our resident Superman super fan, what do you think of this?
Oh damn, that's good.
I want to know more information about Superman Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now all we know is it's going to be about Superman learning to balance his Kryptonian heritage with his earthly upbringing, which is not that's just like the most basic explanation you can give.
Exactly. I mean, you know what? You are 100% right on that. You are so fucking right.
Like, is it just going to be purely an origin story, or is there going to be a villain in it, or are they going to be like, what are they going to be setting up? What's the long term plan here?
If they're going to give us another origin story, I'll pass on this. I don't need to see Superman's origin for the fifth time.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, are they going to have some kind of villain that is going to make him have some kind of crisis on having to balance his Kryptonian heritage and Earth.
I mean,
you know what? Like, I hope so, because I hope they give us somebody we haven't seen yet.
I want to see Brainiac.
You read my
mind.
I was literally seconds away from saying that. I swear, I was literally seconds away from
saying Brainiac. Old Tim Burton cartoon in the 90s, Brainiac is somehow responsible for Krypton's destruction. He comes to Earth, and that's maybe going to have some kind of role in why Superman's got to learn how to balance his Kryptonian and earthly upbringings.
Jeffrey, I mean, if you don't get the plug out my head, dude, I swear I was thinking the same.
Jeff, you write? Are you writing this, bro?
I don't know, James.
Are you writing my thoughts? Because I was literally thinking that.
Nerds.
That would be great. Like, have you seen the animated movie Superman Unbound? Something like that would be nice, but maybe a little better written.
I mean,
I guess more better would be like the story for Injustice 2, but make it be about the good Earth 1 Superman, not evil Injustice Superman.
Okay.
So before Lois is killed.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like, what happened? What, like, right before we get back to the list, what the heck happened there? Because I've played a little bit of Injustice, and then they did the animated film adaptation, and
yep. I haven't seen the animated film version.
This is just my opinion. I don't want it to skew yours, but it was meh. It was like, what? Like it just felt like they wanted to hurry up and get to the Superman killing people part more than anything else. And
well, because that's what Injustice is, like evil Superman running shit. They don't want to spend too much time on exposition.
And I know they only have like an hour and a few minutes, you know, runtime for these films, but I don't know. It just felt like it was missing something. You know? Especially since especially since I know that it, like, Injustice is such a beloved game. And you know, and I wanted to see it doing. Yeah, you know, I wanted to see it done well. I mean, the first few minutes, cool, you know, but yeah, not my favorite is all I'm saying.
You know, they should have done the opening for that like they did the origins in the beginning of Batman versus Superman. Like, make it part of the opening credits, and then the rest of the time is story. Don't waste your time on unnecessary exposition and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. So, third on the list, Lanterns. We're finally getting a Green Lantern show. Well,
anything?
We're finally getting another shot at a live action Green Lantern thing.
That won't be Ryan Reynolds in a CGI suit.
The first time in what, almost 15 years? Yeah, it's been 15 years since that movie, right? Yeah.
Oof, man.
Has it been already? Wow.
2008 is when that came out, right? 2008?
I thought it was more like 2012. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, no, you're right. I think it was 2011, actually, I think.
I think it was 2011.
It has been a while, though, either way.
But it seems like this. It seems like this one.
Yeah, 2011.
Was it 2011?
Son of a bitch, I just had it. Name it. No, not Green Lantern 2. There's no Green Lantern 2. Green Lantern 2011, yeah. I don't know why I thought 2008 for some reason.
Hmm.
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah. It looks like
12 years ago.
12 years, still, that's never getting enough amount of time. But it looks like this particular version is going to be focusing on both Hal Jordan as well as John Stewart, and
good.
And that's a first. Like they've only just recently given John Stewart his due by giving him an animated film.
Which I would like Kyle Rayner personally.
Oh, you're like
the only one on the call that wants him.
Kyle Rayner.
No, you know what? No, I'm sorry. You said Kyle Rayner. I was thinking Guy Gardner when you said that.
Guy Gardner. I don't like that much.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I apologize. You said that, but my You said Kyle, and I thought Guy Gardner. Yeah, he just doesn't feel like a Green Lantern. He feels more.
The only thing I can say about Guy Gardner is he's supposedly the only Green Lantern that mastered the Yellow Ring.
Sometimes, depending on which version I see him in, he seems like the guy who would become a cop just to abuse his power.
Ding, 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 ding.
I mean, that's kind of, he has a Green Lantern, a galaxy cop.
Yeah, he seems like he got into it for the recognition and not for actually defending people. You know,
ding, 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 ding,
because I'm about to.
Say that again.
Imagine me beating the shit out of you because I'm about to.
Like, he really shouldn't be a Green Lantern, if anything, but it felt like that was the default one that he fell into because he's not evil enough for the fucking red one. He's not.
He's gotten the Yellow Ring in a lot of the comics I've read. That, he had a Yellow Ring.
I don't know if it makes sense. I mean, right now I'm thinking to myself, if we were to see him, who would play him? But right now we don't have any casting announcements for anybody right now.
The guy that played Joker on Gotham would be perfect, isn't it?
Really?
Or maybe I'm wrong, maybe you guys will disagree. The redheaded guy from
Wait a minute, hang on, we've already got
Riverdale.
Wait, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, Jeff, but we do apparently Finn Wittrock is going to be playing Guy Gardner in the upcoming Green Lantern show.
I'm not familiar with that name.
Wait, hold on.
He was on American Horror Story.
I've never seen that.
Oh, I'm trying to think what else you might know him from. Shit. Hang on. Let me. He was in to be named later. And I'm sorry. He was in I already said American Horror Story. I don't think you've watched The Assassination of Johnny Versace. I would also almost put money on it that you haven't. He was in La La Land. I don't know anybody here that's seen La La Land. Yeah, he's not been in. I don't know where the overlap is with him in this and us three. I just know him from American Horror Story.
What was his name?
Finn. His name is, no bullshit, Finn Wittrock. Like, he's named like a tough, like a male movie star from the 50s.
Oh, I see pictures of him. I mean, facially, I could see him being Guy Gardner. He's kind of got that stone cold dickhead look on his face.
Yeah, right?
Dang, man.
And if they give him the bowl cut, I mean, it just works.
I guess I could kind of see him pulling it off, but I'm not familiar with his work, so I don't know about, like, acting-wise.
You know what? One thing I saw him in, one season of American Horror Story, he played an asshole very well.
Then he'd be a good fit for Guy Gardner, I guess.
Yeah. I just hope, like I said, I hope they give him the bowl cut. That's all I want. That's all I require from anybody playing Guy Gardner.
I'd like to see him dye his hair red, too, to go a little more.
That, too. Yeah, that's a given. But I'm saying, like, it can still, I need the bowl cut.
Yeah, it's got to be the bowl cut.
All right. So, next on the list. Now, this is something I've never heard of before, and during the announcement, this was my first time hearing about it. It seems very interesting. The Authority.
Anybody? Because the Authority is not DC direct. It's like one of, like, what? Not Wildstorm. Is it Wildstorm? It's one of, like, the DC, like, they're under the DC umbrella, but they're not. They're like almost an Elseworlds type thing, but they're not.
Yeah, they're part of Elseworlds.
Okay.
The Authority is,
you're wrong.
It's one of the things under the DC, one of the, like, Wildstorm or like something like that. One of those companies that are under the DC banner, but not part of the DC universe.
It's described as an interesting departure from the more standard heroes. The show is about the show is about the authority should delight some of the DC heroes. I mean, DC fans who didn't see it coming. Well, honestly, a lot of us didn't. I'm actually
glad. Under okay. Yep. I'm sorry. It's under the Wildstorm imprint.
So
it's under DC, but under their Wildstorm imprint.
So this is definitely an Elseworlds story.
Not Elseworlds, just.
I did hear that they were going to be doing some Elseworlds stuff, though.
No. Yeah, it's not. It's not. Oh, I guess it could be, but it's not. There's nobody in the main DCU that they are Elseworlds. Like, just another universe that is under the umbrella of the DC universe.
Yeah.
But it's not like an alternate what if type situation.
It's basically its own thing, but under them.
Yes.
And with that in mind, because they've also announced that they will have their own Elseworlds imprint, which gives them, you know, which gives them a reason to do more, you know, like more like one shot story stuff that does not have to connect to the overall, you know, to the overall universe as a whole, but it can stand on its own along with these other movies. And I'm okay with that because DC has been doing these movies for a long time. I think the biggest
nearly
the
50 biggest, years,
right? Well, but the biggest issue, at least from where I'm standing, is they mostly focus on the same characters: Batman,
yeah,
Superman, Shazam. Say that again.
Those are their money makers. That's their big two.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It took Wonder Woman decades to get her own film. It took her decades. Whereas Batman and Superman have gotten TV shows, radio shows, like so many comic books, animated films, all of that.
Yeah, I give that first Wonder Woman movie a 9 out of 10. That was really good.
It was
movie.
Good. It really was good.
Yeah,
there were some things that could have been better, but overall, that movie was nearly perfect.
I mean,
at least I think so.
The Shazam got his own TV show, he got one movie back, like way back in the day before the modern one, and
he was used in the Justice League cartoon a few times too.
Pretty well, yeah. Uh huh. I think it was
in Young Justice also.
Yeah, he was.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
I haven't seen the whole third and fourth season, but I think he was in the second season at least.
He was in the first season. Funny thing with Shazam, like in the Young Justice universe, which was I believe Universe 13, they did not know, like most of the Justice League outside of Batman, because of course
didn't know he was a kid. Yeah.
So they're wondering, should we strip him of Justice League status, because technically he is a child.
Yeah. But, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember that episode where he turned his friend turned 18 and some magic kid split the world between grown-up world and kid world.
Yeah,
and he was the only one that could switch back and forth because he went.
I know which episode you're talking about. I've seen that one too. I have a
vague. That was a really good episode.
That was a trippy one.
I like that creative use of his powers too. To be like, we got to tell the grown-ups, how do we do it? Oh yeah, I can turn into a grown-up.
Mm-hmm. Billy Batson has the power of Billy Batson.
Like, I think his realization was the best thing when he turned into a kid and he's like, oh crap. And he realized, he's like, I'm not a grown up, so I'm not in the grown up world anywhere where the plane is.
Yep. I mean, that has some stakes. That has some real stakes to it. I mean, that's why I liked, especially early Young Justice in the first place, you know? But getting back to the list, next one on the list, Paradise Lost, described as a Game of Thrones-like
this is like the Wonder Woman without Wonder Woman show or whatever.
I kind of feel like it's going to have something to do with Themyscira.
We're gonna they're going to focus on the Amazons on Themyscira. Yep.
Okay, I was right. All right. We were right.
I kind of figured it was going to be something on Themyscira.
Now, this is interesting. It's a prequel. It's basically taking place before the events of the Wonder Woman movies.
So then are the Wonder Woman movies going to be part of this canon that he's coming up with? Or he's going to...
Apparently, this is the way... This is the thing that I read that's interesting, because I guess the animated stuff is going to be in the same universe as the live action.
And the video
stuff,
games,
going
too.
To have... yeah, because he's going to have all the people that like voice them in the live action, voice them in animated and whatever other shit they do.
Yep.
So it's all going to be one cohesive universe in different mediums.
So the fact that it takes place before the original Wonder Woman movie from like 2017 or whatever, I wonder if that means he's not wiping that out of the continuity. Yeah. If he's being like, that was good, let's keep that.
Well,
I haven't heard anything about Wonder Woman yet.
From what I understand, because of the Elseworlds, label, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that came before what's going to be happening in the next few years, it's considered Elseworld stories, right? Mm. So yeah, they still exist, but after Flash, after this Flashpoint,
Flash is doing the Flashpoint.
Exactly. After Flash, it's going to restart the entire thing. So, yeah, all that other stuff is going to exist within its own continuity. But to be honest, they've been doing this anyway. Like, the movies versus the TV shows, especially if we look at the CW shows and stuff like Swamp.
But you know what? Not for nothing, Flashpoint did have the Flash did have their own little Flashpoint episode in
a few times.
After season two, I think.
They showed things from. Was it, I can't remember which. Yeah, because they showed like every DC universe that's like on TV and even like
references. Oh, that was when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, but
they did Flashpoint between season two and three of The Flash. After they, Zoom, right,
yeah, thank you. That's what I meant to say. Thank you, Crisis, not Flashpoint.
Like how many times did that Flash go back in time? Like and this is coming from a guy who loves time travel stories. I felt like they use that as a crutch a bit too much, you know. But I'm still watching.
He smashes the timelines like Charlie Sheen with hookers.
What?
He smashes the timeline like Charlie Sheen with hookers.
Oh, God.
He smashes the timeline like Charlie
Sheen. Oh, God. Not my sweet Jeffrey.
Okay. All right. I got to put an ad break or something in here. Hold on. We got to take an ad break after that, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Are you ready to be who they want? Well, don't wait for them to tell you who you can't be. Enroll now and be who they want today. At Who They Want Entertainment LLC, we offer you two select packages, a basic and a premium package, which is designed to build underdogs into the top dogs. We also have multimedia promotions and exclusive guest appearances that you will receive from our affiliate partners and your own analytics. So come be a part of our team and make your podcast who they want to hear today. This is DJ Steady, CEO and owner of Who They Want Entertainment LLC, and also host of the Who They Want podcast show. Enroll today, people. I know you want to be who they want to.
All right. Oh, man. So after that, after Paradise Lost, next one on the list is The Brave and the Bold.
Oh, I can't wait for this. I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait for this. Because
what are they going to be doing with
what
this
I
one?
Read about it? It's going to be dealing with older Batman and Damian Wayne, and I can't wait to see how they do Damian Wayne in live action, and if they give and make him the little bitchy twit that he ends up being eventually in the comics.
It'll be the first time in a long time that we've seen a Robin on screen.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what that was going to be. It was about Batman and Robin.
Yep, but this one being his son, Damian Wayne, the current Robin.
But I wonder if they're going to start him off as a kid, like 10 years old, like he was in the comics, or if they're going
to
pick him up.
Yeah, they got you. They got him. No, they're going to – he's going to be at least – I'm going to, like, say preteen at best when they do this. They got it. They can't give him – they can't. I don't want him to be almost high school age, because at that point you're just a dick if you're like that. But if you're – like 10, 11, and you're so like, oh, mother, that's the one, that man, he's my father, and I want to da-da-da, and then call it Alfred Pennyworth, just like with such disrespect. Like, he just calls him Pennyworth. And then all this other shit, he has to be at least 11, 12 years old when they do this. They have to have kids. I want him to be a kid, but like a pretentious dickhead kid like he was when he
first like was in the comics.
He usually is. Mm-hmm.
I really disliked him in the comics.
You and me both.
But I think that was the
he
point.
He grew on me.
Mm-hmm. He didn't grow on me. He was too much of an insufferable prick.
That was the beautiful thing about him. He was Jason Todd if he cranked Jason Todd up to 11.
Look where he grew up.
The only thing that happened in the comics that I can recall that I was like, okay, I was still pretty screwed up, but you can kind of understand his reasoning behind it. Maybe it wasn't so bad. Is when him and Batman were fighting a Talon, which happened to be, if I'm remembering right, a reanimated Thomas Wayne Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He was threatening to reveal Batman's secret, and Robin just took two fingers and stabbed him through the forehead and killed him. I was like, okay, that's pretty messed up. But when Batman asked him about it, he's like, he was going to spill your secret to the world. And I couldn't let him ruin your life like that or something.
And that's why Damian Wayne is probably my favorite Robin, because the kid is just like, fuck this. I'm going to do what I'm going to do to protect those that I love, and I don't give a fuck what, you know what I'm saying?
Tim Drake was always my favorite Robin.
No, he's a good Robin, but just something about just, you know what, because I feel like he's such a the yin to the other Robins for the most part, yang.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas the other Robins, they were, and I'm talking when they are Rob, I'm not talking like, say, Jason Todd now. I'm talking about when they were kids. Mm-hmm. They were like, golly, gee willikers, I can't believe I'm fighting crime with the Batman. Da, 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 da. Whereas Damian Wayne comes in and is like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you.
He's like, I'll kill you all.
Exactly.
Yep. And just to be clear, this is not Robert Pattinson's Batman.
Yeah.
No, I know. That's its own separate thing.
Yep. This is not
Robert. There's no way, because this is still what, year two? He's still year two Batman. It's not like when they do Brave and the Bold, this is going to be what Affleck should be in Batman years. You know what I'm saying?
He's probably going to be before that.
I don't think he's gonna be Affleck's age. Say again.
Okay, he's not that. I feel like Affleck's Batman is at least on his second Robin.
Yeah, he was. Well, he was that version of Batman was highly inspired.
No,
by
yeah, third. Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that graffiti on that suit. He was
that's why I was it. I swear I for the splittest of seconds I forgot about that, and I'm mad at myself because I did. And I was in the process of auto-correcting, but
no, you were right though. He is on at least a second Robin. Because Joker killed one Robin, so we know at least there was one Robin.
Yeah. Yep.
This is not gonna be the Batman that people have come to know and really surprisingly enjoy. I mean, I heard that movie. I haven't watched The Batman yet. Heard it was dope though, honestly. Like,
I, you know what, and this is coming from me, like a diehard Batman fan, I don't really have an interest in watching that.
Same here.
I have like my interest in watching that movie is just like, I'll watch it, I'll catch it eventually, but I'm not going out of my way to watch it.
I think that's my thing too. I have nothing against Robert Pattinson. It is just that as much as people say they're burned out of comic book films, I'm burned out of Batman because we get
Batman's been rebooted like five times now.
Exactly.
Keep in mind, in our lifetime, in the past only 30 something years, we've had what, 60 different Batman?
Yep. And the next one on the list,
And I'm counting Gotham too. I'm counting the Gotham show. I'm like not just
that. Like you talking about like the
Batman. You know, Batman, no, I'm not counting Gotham. I'm not.
The Batman related shows.
I'm not counting that because he doesn't show up as Batman until like literally the last scene of that show.
Yeah, and I heard that was like the last 20 minutes of the episode.
No, not even. It's like the last three.
There's Batman.
And you know this is the craziest thing about that too, because when you finally see Batman in the last 30-45 seconds of that show, what they did was they have a grown man, you know, in the Batman costume, but what they did was superimpose the kid that played Bruce Wayne's face onto him under a mask.
Yeah, because the kid was like 14 when the show ended. Wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. So next on the list, Batman 2. The Batman
next.
2.
All right, what's after next on the list? What's next on the list?
Move along, nothing to see here.
Well, that one's coming out in 2025, so.
So what? So yep. Don't care.
Hey, but don't forget the Penguin's getting a series.
No. Oh, you know, actually, I'm looking forward to that.
Danny DeVito? Really?
Ah!
No, you know, you're stupid. No, I like Colin Farrell, and I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I will watch that. Just because I like Colin Farrell.
All right.
Other than that, I'm not like, that Matt Reeves versus Batman, I'm just not, I have no real, you know what I'm saying?
You have no real connection to it.
Not so much a connection, just like no real interest.
Interest,
like
yeah,
because you know the thing is just it feels haphazardly put together. It's just like, you know, they were trying to do what they did. Was for the longest time, Affleck was trying for the longest time to get his Batman. You know, I think that's probably why I'm just a little jaded because they did Batfleck. Because he was trying to get his own movie for the longest time, and it's almost like they had some time over. We got to make a Batman movie. And they
said, yeah, WB was kind Twilight. Of dragging their feet around it and exactly. not really doing much for them.
Exactly. And they were just like, get the kid from Twilight. Let him play a different type of dark, brooding character. Like,
I don't think it was that. I think it was, from what I remember reading, it was that every idea he
No, I know it's not that, Jeff. I was just making a joke.
No, we can't do that.
No, I know that, Jeff. I was making a joke.
Yeah, they were just throwing up too many roadblocks, from what I heard.
Yeah, because it was like every time, everything that had to do with like Affleck and trying to get his Batman movie together, it felt like, well, he wanted to do this thing, but they wanted to do XYZ. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he was supposed to write, produce, and direct alongside starring this shit.
Yeah,
he and was if be memory serves, I want to say that he wanted to, huh?
He was going to be co-producing with Zack Snyder.
Yeah, and I don't. I want to say I just might. I want to say at one point he wanted to do something in the vein of the Arkham Asylum game, where he wanted to have like he wanted you to see different Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He wanted. From what I remember hearing, he wanted to do something like Arkham Origins.
Where it was all the villains
teaming up to go after him.
Yeah, that's it.
But I don't think he wanted to use quite as many. I think he just wanted it to be like three or four.
That would even work too, because it's not like they would have had like screen time the entire film, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And one of the villains that he wanted to use was going to be Deathstroke, which would have been great to see.
I know. We were so robbed of him in Great Deathstroke.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Like, all that build-up for him, too. Like, especially that Justice League credit scene. Like, why? What is with DC in doing that? Like, building up a character that we'll never see again.
Well, like we said, they were in a, like, I feel like they were in a rush to get all these movies out, and
but still,
it should have calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, really. Like I said, they've had years of experience putting these movies out. I know it's not the same people.
They've also had years of experience disappointing their fans.
They all, yes, ding, 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 ding. They all, yeah, that, you know, that too. That too, you know. But the next one on the list is Booster Gold, an HBO Max show.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this one. I'm looking forward to this one just because I like the character and I just want to see. You know what? I remember.
I think it would do good in the vein of Harley Quinn having a Mac style.
Oh, you want him to? You wanted to turn it up to 12 and just have the
kind of like a superhero version of Harley Quinn, because that's
like that's kind of how they lean into the comedy. They got to lean into the comedy with that character,
because the character's whole backstory is he's essentially a fraud. He came back from the future just so he could try and be a hero to get rich.
Right.
So they could play that very comedically.
You know
that's why I didn't like it in the first song.
No, you know the funny thing is, years ago, I remember like when they were talking about doing something with him, maybe like a decade or so ago. And I remember thinking like the guy
at
the
time had a live action appearance once already.
He did do
an episode of Smallville.
Yeah.
And they also gave Booster Gold an appearance in Legends of Tomorrow. Unfortunately,
I don't remember that one. Watching after like season 3.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Like a blink and you. Well, no, I can't remember. I remember them talking about Booster Gold, but I don't remember the capacity in which he showed up in it.
It would make sense for him to be in Legends of Tomorrow, though.
Yeah,
really would.
Yeah. So, okay. Let me give you a rundown. So in the last season of Legends of Tomorrow, you discovered that some of the villains that they fought, one in particular being Ebar Thawne, based on stuff that happened, you know, seasons prior. He is punished by the time race and the authority, and they basically
His punishment was to become a guardian of the timeline, right?
He's got to keep that timeline intact, right?
Yeah.
So fast forward to them meeting Booster Gold, played by Donald Faison. Shout out to him.
For the life of me, I could not remember who I remember. Donald
Faison played Booster Gold, and he had to keep a particular part of the timeline. He was being punished too for his crimes against time, right? And he had to keep a particular timeline in check. I believe it was World War II. He had to keep that time.
Legends of Tomorrow has already messed up that timeline.
And then at the end of the show, they all get arrested, right? They all get arrested, including him. And then the show got canceled.
So it ended like Seinfeld.
So it was a freaking like the ending was great, and then I'm like, where are they gonna go from here? And then Like a month or so later, they get the kibosh, and I'm like, out of all the CW shows, this one was the most bizarre because it took chances. It wasn't completely
its own original stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't trying to be like based on anything. You know,
if you think about it, you can kind of liken it to the Xenoverse games in terms of how it treated time travel.
Thank you.
Here's what's supposed to happen. It's getting messed up. Now you got to go fix it.
There you go. And after a while, characters left. So characters left. They had to finagle brand new storylines, bring in new characters. But it worked.
I think that's how they designed whatever that show was. They wanted it to have a rotating cast, from what I remember hearing.
By the end of the show, there was like one more original left.
Yeah, some of the characters got so popular they couldn't get rid of them. But I heard that the original idea was they wanted to have a rotating cast, so that every season there was at least two or three different people.
And for the most part, it worked. You know, not every, I'm not saying every storyline worked, because you are basically playing with toys in a toy box and seeing what happens.
Yeah,
you know?
For real.
But that was probably my favorite show, because out of the slate of CW stuff, because, you know, it wasn't trying to be completely adapted from a particular story. So it didn't have to abide by a particular storyline. It was the bizarreness of the timeline. You know what I'm saying? And these characters, after a while, became like real family, and it was comfort food for, you know, it was comfort food for me.
I'm just remembering the season finale where they had to fight the big teddy bear. Bebo needs a hug.
Oh my god!
Look, every season of that show, they were fighting something different. They were fighting time. They were fighting magic. They were fighting demons from hell. I mean,
the ones from heaven.
They Constantine was in this show, and he had like
the ball kick paradox.
It just the show took chances. That's all I'm saying. It took chances. It went wherever it wanted to go. It got me, like, in certain episodes got me right where it hurt. You know what I'm saying? And it was connected to, you know, it was connected to the other CW shows. And it just got canceled. It got canceled before its time. It's right up there with Black Lightning. But it lasted longer than Black Lightning did. But
lots of things lasted longer than Black Lightning.
Black Lightning got four seasons and dipped. That's it.
That's a lot of dicks.
Dip. It dipped. Not just.
I know he's a dick. Got four seasons and dicks.
Not four. No. It dipped out. There was.
Okay, that makes more sense than what I thought I heard.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Four seasons and dicks.
Listen, this is not the porn parody. That would go completely different.
No, they'd got five dicks.
And the costume,
like the restaurant?
And the costume would be almost 100% accurate. That's one thing I always found interesting about comic porn parodies. How is it that they get the accurate costumes?
Because they're not focusing on anything else but the costume. You know those costumes they keep on for like 5 minutes?
Say that again?
They're only going to wear them for a minute.
Exactly. Oh, no.
And they're just going to end up with stains anyways.
But here's the
ding,
thing.
Ding, ding, ding.
For the most part, they still keep them on.
More dings.
They still keep the costumes on.
To a degree.
Like, this is what don't make any sense. There was a Batman Superman one, right? And it was a Batman.
You're selling that to the CW in 20 minutes.
There was a Batman Superman porn parody with New 52 stuff sprinkled in, right?
Is that what it's called?
Oh my god.
You're not ejaculating. You're just sprinkling in your new 52.
Oh, no.
Why am I laughing? I'm the one who made the joke.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh god.
Yo.
Oh.
You made me lose. Like, you made me completely.
Oh my god. I can't.
Okay. I couldn't resist. That's an opportunity I have to take.
Oh my god.
It has been a while since the three of us have been on a mic together, so I'm so glad that we've gotten to do this. I forgot what I was going to say, but you know what? Let's get back to the list.
No, I can't. I'm not ready to get back to that just yet. You guys are going to have to do the next couple minutes without me. It's going to take me a minute to recover from that.
Look what you did, Jeff. This is your fault.
Oh, you know what, guys? I'm going to go on mute real quick. You guys talk about the next topic. I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to be muted.
All right.
Okay. Oh, man. Well, okay. So the next one on the list is, hold on. Dude. Oh, jeez. The next one on the next.
We still got a few more to go, don't we?
We got two more. That's it. We just got two more. So the next one on the list.
Okay, I think I'm not ready. I'm sorry.
He'll be back.
The next. Ooh. Oh, my stomach. Okay. The next one on the list is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
That's what it was. I thought it's weird, though, because they were already working on a Superwoman movie. So I guess they scrapped Superwoman to do Supergirl instead.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what direction they're going to take with this one.
Well, okay. According to this, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, is described like this: Supergirl may have seen her time in the Arrowverse end, but the character will love with a brand new brand new project based on Tom King's Supergirl miniseries, which will give her more edge. It seems they want to contrast her with from birth, Earth raised Clark Kent, perhaps. from her, you know, they basically want to make her the contrast to Superman. And give her a darker, story. She's basically
want to be Batman,
an anti-hero. Then
kind of I haven't read the Tom King run, but if anybody else has, let us know. But it looks
in the New 52, she tended to lean towards being more violent, but Superman at some point was getting her to be a little more relaxed and in control of her powers.
Right.
It wasn't even necessarily that she couldn't control her powers. It's because she didn't really see a point to it.
There's a there's an animated film coming out. There's an animated film coming out very soon called it's for Legions of Tomorrow, and that focuses on that'll focus on Superman and Supergirl's relationship in that continuity. Because it looks like she's having trouble. She's having trouble being on Earth and controlling her powers and everything. And
then, yeah, that's always been a big thing with her character, is because she was already like in her teens when Krypton blew up. She remembers the planet when Clark doesn't. He just knows about Krypton from his Kryptonian training.
Well, he was a baby, he was a baby when it blew up. Mm-hmm. She is, by all accounts, his older cousin. And she's smarter than him, but she stopped aging. So it's
not even so much that she stopped aging. It's that there was a gap in her aging, because she went, when she, her ship got stuck, she went into like a cryogenic stasis.
Yep.
So now that she's out of it, she'll start aging, but Kryptonians age slowly though.
Oh yeah. And right now it's still like, she still got the mentality and the body of a teenager. So she's going to stay like that for a while.
Yeah.
But in once again, she's stronger than Clark. So,
they don't really touch on that though that often.
So I'm she's stronger than him.
Yeah,
they do in some stuff, like in Smallville. They kind of went into that territory a little bit.
No. That's why I said like too often, because I was like, yeah. They don't. That's something that's like. Whenever those two are together, they focus so much on Superman being the stronger of the two, they don't realize that that's not how it is.
Yeah, because it's like, more so that he's the more trained of the two, because he's had more time.
Exactly.
I feel like in the Supergirl CW series, they touched on her strength a bit, but it wasn't really a point at all. Like.
It also kind of depends on how which version of Supergirl they're going to use, because there's been two or three different ones.
Right. Whereas, how many versions of Superman has there been?
Three that I know of. There's Kal-El, Clark Kent, and then there's his son, John-L, John Kent.
Yep.
And then there's also a Chinese Superman that I don't know his character name.
And there is also
and then there's a black
Val Zod.
There's a black Superman. Yep.
Val Zod.
And then there's also, if you want to get real technical, there's an alternate universe where Zod was Superman.
Right. And I'm going to count Superman from Gods and Monsters, where he was raised by Mexican refugees.
Still Kal-El though.
Yeah, that's still Kal-El. It's just, you know, been on the a bit more on the edge. And bit on
well,
the edge.
If you're gonna go, that way with it, you might as well go with the Superman Red Sun one too, where he landed in Russia instead of fucking Kansas.
You have to watch that. A friend's been trying to convince me to watch that for ages now, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
Well, it was a comic well before it was an animated film.
Oh, I know. No, I knew about Superman Red Sun for a long time. Mm-hmm. But when they
the versions of the superheroes are Russian in that, because in the animated film, even Batman was Russian.
Yep. Batman's Russian. Wonder
Woman. I don't know if it's the same way in the comics.
I don't think it's the same. You know, it's been so long since I've even read that. I don't you know what? I'm going to have to get back to you on that, Jeff. To be honest with you.
Yep.
Or I can fucking Google it. Like, I don't have Google in front of me. Oh, my God.
Basically, they are making her darker in this version. It looks like it's going to be – dang, wait a minute. It's going to be the first time in a while we've seen her on a movie screen. Like
since like the late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, late 80s, where she for some reason lived in this beehive thing outside of Krypton and
went. I never saw the movie. I just know it was part of the Christopher Reeve series of Supermans, and I think he had like a brief cameo at the end.
He never showed up.
He didn't.
No, he was originally planned to have a cameo, but then they said, "Nah, kill that noise."
I thought he had a short cameo.
Nah, he never showed up. The closest thing to a cameo that he had in that movie was they stared longingly at a poster of him, and that was it. Now Jimmy Olsen from that slate of Superman films, he showed up.
In it, right? Yeah.
He showed up, and for some reason. Supergirl is battling a witch named Selina, and she's got the power of an entire planet on her because one of Supergirl's mentors took the device holding that place that they're living together, right?
The bottom city of Gandor kind of situation.
Almost, and it landed on Earth, and Oh, and by the way, there's no rhyme or reason why Supergirl has the suit that she does. She just comes out of the water with it on.
They don't say it in the movie, but it's probably something to do with her being also from the House of El.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about like somebody pointed this out to me, because at first when I first saw the movie, I was good, and I kind of liked it, you know, but then I realized when she lands on Earth. And there's no rhyme or reason why she has her suit.
Yeah, right? Because back in that continuity, that suit and the symbol weren't anything to do with Krypton. It was just something Martha Kent came up with.
Like, there's no reason, like we don't know what, how, you know, we don't know what the significance of her suit. She doesn't, like, she takes to her powers like a fish to water. And then
I would say she probably saw Superman on the news or something, and or even just personally saw him flying around. It was like, yeah.
Oh, she knows just, that.
Yeah, she's like inspired by him. Yeah, most definitely.
She knows that her cousin's on Earth. She even forges. She even forges a note to get herself into this all-girls school that coincidentally, Lois Lane's sister happens to be enrolled in. And
wasn't she like 30 in that movie though?
I don't know.
I think late 20s at most.
Yeah, late
20s. Then again, I guess the character was supposed to be 16 or 17.
Yeah, it's just very like. You watch it as a good, like, I'd call it, it's a junk food movie, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and there's barely any action until almost the end of the film. So
You know, it's been so long since I've even seen that movie that I'll take you at your word, because I don't remember anything about that movie.
I've never seen it, but I kind of want to just to see it.
Yeah, and
I heard it wasn't very good, but I still kind of want to see it.
And the CW Supergirl has its good and its bad, good points and bad points. I loved just about every moment that I saw of it, and I think it ended on a good note. So, but that's my opinion. I was glad to finally see her on screen, because aside from that, the last time I saw her, it was all animated. You know,
yeah. You know, I think the the chick that played Supergirl in the movie was Superman's mother on Smallville.
His
not Martha Kent. I'm talking about his birth mother.
Yeah, she played Laura from Krypton.
Thank you. I could not remember her name for the life.
Wow. Okay, so they're making they make sure to get some legacy actors back for the.
Oh, that was all Smallville did, and it's like it always got somebody. Well, not always, but for the most part.
Helen Slater was the actress.
Yeah, Helen Slater. Yeah, thanks. She was. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, she was Laura. Thank you.
No, technically not the real Laura. It was a clone of her, but yeah, that was her.
Yeah, great. It's always a clone. It's always a clone.
If I remember the plot right, Supergirl's dad was a bad guy, and
yeah,
he was originally with Laura, but then she left him for Jor-El. But before she did, he somehow got a sample of her DNA, like I don't know, lock of hair or something maybe, and he made a clone of her with blue kryptonite. Or something to do with it. There was some connection to Blue Kryptonite with it, I remember. It's been a while since I watched it, but I just remember that he made a clone of her, and she ended up trapping him and herself both in the Phantom Zone because she knew he was a bad guy.
Wow.
I gotta rewatch that damn show. It's been so long.
Me too. I have it on my Vudu account, and I have the Blu-ray set. I'll probably start watching it soon.
I gotta watch Superman.
Check it out, what? Honestly, I don't think I've even watched an episode of Smallville since that show ended. And it's been a decade since that show ended. Over a decade.
Yeah, it has. 2013, May of 2013.
Bitch.
I think the last one I watched, because I was not a regular watcher of that show.
Wait, no, didn't Smallville end in 2011?
Was it 2011? I thought it was 2013.
A 10-year run.
To the internet.
No, you're right then. It would have been 2011 because it started in October of 2001. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember it in May. But I haven't. I probably rewatched it once since it ended.
Yeah, 2011. 2011 is when it ended.
The last episode I watched of that show was when they did a Justice Society episode.
Oh, yeah, the hour-long special. Mm-hmm. The one where they had Dr. Fate, that was a good one.
Yep.
And they did a good job with the Dr. Fate costume in that, too.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah, it really did.
I'm
still tripping over the fact that it's been 12 years.
What I was really hoping to hear is that the revival that Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling have been working on got greenlit. That's what I wanted to hear.
Have you listened to the podcast that they do yet?
I've been listening to bits and pieces of it. I haven't really fully listened to it, but I've heard some bits and pieces. They're trying to get the Smallville brought back as an animated series.
I heard that.
And get as many of the original cast members as they can. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're not going to get Allison Mack.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And even if they could, I don't know if they would want to be tied to that.
No, they'd
probably be able to get Kristen Crook back.
Not like probably, she's busy.
Probably could get John Glover back, but I don't know if they'd, because they, Lionel's already been done and over with. He died like 3 times on the show.
Sheesh.
He really did. He really fucking did.
But they could get back Annette O'Toole to play Martha Kent again if they need her. But even then, she wouldn't really be a main focus on the show. Probably the main focuses would be Lex, Clark, maybe Oliver Queen, because he was a main character for the last half of Smallville. Season 6.
Yeah, outwards. But I don't see him being, because of the Arrow of it all, I don't see him, if they were to do it, I don't see Oliver Queen playing as big a part in Smallville.
True, maybe. But I would like
how to see the success of that, you know, Arrow is already, it's very much its own thing that, you know, everybody, I don't...
Yeah, but it depends on how they do it, because if they bring it back and they start it based off of the Smallville Season 11 comic books, Oliver Queen and Green Arrow played a pretty big role in that, too.
That would be interesting. I could see them getting Stephen Amell back to voice him.
Yeah. And it would be,
just for that connective tissue of
crossoverness, it would have to be Justin Hartley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm just saying, given that, you know,
Batman in, too, if they do that.
No, but this is the thing I'm saying, because of the simple fact that Stephen Amell's more connected as the Green Arrow now than Justin Hartley is. Because, I mean, Justin Hartley was only, 2-3 seasons at most?
I think 4, but even then he wasn't for full season orders a couple of the seasons.
But so but I'm saying, like, now Stephen Amell is Arrow as far as anybody else is concerned. So if they were to do it, they'd probably go with him, over Hartley.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Plus, I would be interested to see an animated version of their take on Batman.
That would be great.
So you ready for the last one, guys?
Sure.
Do it too.
We're down to the last project announced for the chapter for DC's Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters, and that is Swamp Thing.
Now, this was some left field shit, because I did not expect a Swamp Thing anything.
Swamp Thing, I never thought he was that popular of a character.
He
got 2 movies Once Upon a Time, so I mean, he's pretty fucking popular.
Did he?
And he got his own.
I guess he wasn't an animated movie.
He's been in a few
animated. No, I'm talking about live action. Projects. He had 2 live action
Swamp Thing movies? I didn't know that.
There
was one season TV show.
Kevin Lockley was in one of them.
Which we'll call it. If we're talking, like, you know, because remember, technically, it's like that Swamp Thing was it the same Swamp Thing? I mean, because
I know they did a 1-season TV show on CW.
They actually, it was on. Okay, here's the funny thing. Remember the DC Universe app?
Yeah. I had a subscription to it for a couple of months.
Yeah.
That's how long it lasted.
That show was originally on there as an exclusive, and then they canned it after 1 season. It was doing really well, but due to some disagreements or something that I heard of, they decided to can it, and they put it on CW, and but they told people, no, we're not going any further. We're just putting this on CW, right? And then not too long after that, because the DC Universe app lasted about a year and a half, 2 years,
something like that.
And then they got rid of that, and they announced
they got shuffled into HBO Max.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And eventually, the DC stuff right now. Well, as far as that, because you know we're still in the middle of the great HBO Max purge, so they're going to be putting their stuff on other platforms. One being Amazon. They just struck a deal with Amazon. Now I'm not 100% clear on whether if that's internationally or if that's going to be for Amazon US. I don't know, but I do know that they've already started to get rid of some of the DC properties on the HBO Max app, and that's so sad. I had high hopes for that and for this app, and there's only a few things that keep me coming back.
And no one all right, gang, I got some news.
What's the news?
There were two Swamp Thing movies.
Yep.
One in 82. Yep. And then a sequel 7 years later.
Yeah, okay, so.
You know who directed the first one?
Negative six. Who directed the first one?
Fucking Wes Craven.
Wes Craven?
And this was pre, it was called Wes Craven. This wasn't like, son of a bitch. I didn't know I forgot he directed the first one, actually.
That would explain the visuals. But my introduction to movie Swamp Thing, he met a girl. And at the
was
end
it
of
the sequel where he had Heather Locklear?
Yeah. And at the movie at the end he had to save her life and essentially turn her into another Swamp Thing.
That was the sequel with Heather Locklear.
Okay, so that was the first one I saw. I saw the sequel first.
Yep. Huh.
Nice. That was one of those things that was just on when you're channel flipping.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But Jeff, what do you think of the potential of a Swamp Thing? Looks like this might be a movie. Some of these are going to be movies, others are going to be series, you know, so we're just gonna have to wait and see which one this one lands on. Because right now I think it's a series. Don't quote me.
I'm not really familiar with the character. I've only seen a couple of things with him.
I would suggest watching the show if you can. It was actually pretty good. Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Looks like, okay, so, yeah. Okay, check the way they describe Swamp Thing. An underwatched DC Universe series that will instead become a new horror film in the DCU. Oh.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Andrew, you know what? He lends himself to horror, so I get that. I mean,
yeah, he does. Yep. In in the Harley Quinn series, they made him a hippie.
I remember that.
Yep. Made him a hippie. He dated Poison Ivy or they were friends, and he thought there was a connection, and she was like, nope. It's just, you know. But
I just say plants, I don't fuck them.
But
you're welcome.
But honestly, this will be interesting. It's probably not one that I'm looking forward to the most, but
no, it's definitely up there with like you'll watch it when it comes. Like you won't pay to watch it, but like if it comes on. Like whatever streaming service, you'll watch it just to see what it's about.
You won't go out of your way to watch it, but you also won't avoid it either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think this is a solid. I think right now this is an interesting, solid list of content that's coming out in the future. You know?
Oh no, it's gonna be great. Believe me. Like they know, like James Gunn, he knows what he's doing. He's, you know, he's fighting. There's two outcomes to this. He knows what he's doing. He's glad to be, you know, the head of the DCU, whatever company department, film department, yeah, you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to do his best. The other side of that coin is he's Kevin Feige's hired gun. And he's going to make sure that they fail at every
time. Oh, jeez. Yep. But aside from the current list, we still have a few things to look forward to. We have the Flash movie, we have Blue Beetle, and we have Aquaman 2, Lost Kingdom.
I keep forgetting Blue Beetle is happening.
Yeah, because the last bit of information we got was a pretty good picture of the main character in the suit, of Jaime Reyes in the suit. And
but I feel like they've been talking about the thing for like 3 years now.
Yeah. Yep, it's happening, and it's getting a theatrical release, so big ups.
Yeah, you know? For real, respect to that, because that wasn't the original plan for that.
That was not the original plan, no, no. But Jeff, which out of the list and out of everything we discussed, which one of these projects stick out to you?
Which one sticks out is probably The Brave and the Bold.
I say that's a solid choice.
Same here. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Because it's at least it's something that hasn't been done before.
Exactly. That's the main reason I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, I'd have to go with probably the one that I'm the most the one that I'm most curious about is The Authority, because that's a brand new name to me.
You know what? I'm right there with you on the curiosity front for that one.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I'm looking forward to... Now, I know the Amanda Waller show is going to kill it. I know that one's
going to... It's going to be gangbusters.
That I kind of have high hopes for, too.
Yeah, I know that one's going to kill it. And then the third, for me, Lanterns. Lanterns, because we get...
Lanterns is it's a curiosity thing for me. So I'm wondering how they're going to pull that off. Not like I'm going to watch it regardless, but now it's more like, how are they going to do this? Because it doesn't look like they're going straight, you know, superhero formulaic superhero shit. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they are. I think like they might treat it like a police procedural. I don't know, but
it could be interesting.
Yeah, that would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is a pretty good slate of projects. We got a lot to look forward to in the future. If you're a DC fan, let us know what you think. Check our links in the bio if you want to chat with us. If you want to check out more episodes with our friends, and check out more news and reviews coming to you straight from On the Brain Entertainment. And honestly, I just want to thank both my cousin and Big Jeff over here for joining me tonight. You know, and I think it's been really fun chatting it up with you guys. And
most definitely.
And talking about this new slate of DC stuff, you know, I knew I picked the right people for this discussion tonight. So thank you.
You damn sure did.
It was fun.
Yeah, guys. It definitely was. And I know we're gonna be definitely doing more stuff in the future. Like, cause
real quick, before you end this, yep. I just saw something. Looks like we might be getting even a little bit more Michael Keaton as Batman in the future. From what I just looked up, just saw just now, James Gunn and Peter Safran, however you say it,
yeah,
have given a glimmer of hope that Keaton could have a future as Batman on screen after all. Okay, we might have to talk about this.
We are definitely going to have to talk about this as more information becomes available, you know?
Exactly, because it's just the same. We don't know, but it looks like it could be a possibility. So, let's see.
Yeah, most definitely. But once again, thank you guys. And I know me and you, cuz, we got a few reviews coming up in the very, very near, in the very, very near future. So keep an eye out for those. Keep an eye, your eyes and ears out for those. Check us out on all podcast platforms. And in the meantime, in between time, my peoples, we bid you peace, love, and never be normal.